27 this morning, Proverbs chapter 27. Going back to my stronghold series that I've been doing for quite a while now, there's a lot of different sins, if you will, strongholds that the devil tries to use to stop our progress in the work of God, or stop you even becoming a child of God. And this particular stronghold is one that he tries to use on every person in this building, every one of us. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If I ask you what's going to happen today, no doubt we have our plans. I'm looking forward to, after this church service, going back to Mom and Daddy's house. I've already found out the menu. Steak and gravy, amen. I have my plans. I have my plans to be back tonight, preach, and do these things. But let's be honest. We don't really know, do we? I preach to you today on the stronghold of procrastination. You say, "Is that a real word?" Yes. I thought about preaching it next week. I'm kidding there, okay? Some of you will catch up by freight sometime later as we preach on the stronghold of procrastination. Now, don't get me tickled, friends, okay? Let's pray together. Our Father, we rejoice in our heart for who you are. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of time. What a great gift that you give to us every moment. Help us to give it right back to you by serving you with all of our heart. May your will be done in our lives, please. Do eternal business in this hour. Speak to us. Speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. The word procrastinate means to delay. It means to defer action. It means to put off until another day or time something that should be done. Procrastination is knowing something one should do now and putting it off until sometime later. One man said, and I quote, "A scholar once surveyed the scriptures to discover the most significant words in all the Bible. He wanted to find the saddest word. He wanted to find the happiest word, the most emotional word, and so on. But when he came to the Bible's most dangerous word, he identified it as the word tomorrow. The word is a thief, this man said, that robs dreamers of their dreams and the talented of their greatest achievements. It keeps men and women from coming to Christ and discovering the kind of life God wants for them to have." In other words, when God says now, the procrastinator says tomorrow. When God says now, the procrastinator says later. Charles Spurgeon said, and I quote, "Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Alas, tomorrow never comes. It is in no calendar except the almanac of fools." The Word of God plainly says in our text, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Procrastination boasts itself of tomorrow. Friends, every one of us here can be tempted with this sin of procrastination. Let us determine to do now what God wants us to do and stop putting it off until a later time, which may never come. One site I checked for some illustrations brought this out, and each day there are 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, and 86,400 seconds in every day. And every one of them is a precious gift from God. Time is something we feel we never have enough of, yet we give it away so easily. Someone once said, "Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it."
You can't keep it, but you can spend it. But once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Today, I want to put procrastination under a spiritual microscope, and I want to give you four things it does. And I want, and I'm trusting that through this message, God will strike my own heart to stop putting anything off that it's His will for me to do. If God tells you to do something, now's the time to do it. Because now's the only time you know you have. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let me give you four things about procrastination. Number one, procrastination denies life's uncertainty. Now, I brought this out in our text. I say it again, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17 says this, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that, because your life's a vapor, it's appearing for a little time, it's vanishing away. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. Don't count on tomorrow, much less a year from now. He's saying, because of that, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know the first thing that procrastination does? It takes something that God's telling you to do and it says there's more time, just put it off. That is denying life's uncertainty. That is denying what the Bible says. You do not know what's going to happen today, much less tomorrow. So if God speaks, now's the time to act. Procrastination denies the fact that our life is uncertain and it's very frail. When somebody procrastinates what the Lord desires them to do, they are simply denying that they are one heartbeat out of eternity. One man said Spurgeon was once preaching on eternal life, and he caught the eye of a godly woman who was sitting near the front that day. She had been in his church for many years, and Spurgeon knew her faith was very strong. There was something, some special gleam in her eye that day, and he caught her eye when he was preaching. Spurgeon couldn't be certain what it meant, but preachers draw power and encouragement from attentive faces. They don't from sleeping faces, I'll guarantee you that, amen. He caught her eye repeatedly. In other words, every time he looked at her, he caught her eye. She had a gleam in it. As he preached on paradise that day, until a certain possibility occurred to him, he paused in his preaching and he asked the man beside this woman to check her wrist for a pulse. And she had none. The woman had gone on to the next life with the gleam of heaven already present in her eye. In her case, everyone was able to praise God for the assurance of her salvation because they knew she was saved. And the peaceful and appropriate manner of her death, God was gracious to her, you see. She just fell asleep in Jesus, in church, listening to a sermon on paradise. Now, I know what you're thinking. If you preach as long as you do, somebody's going to die in here too. Amen. In her case, it was a happy occasion because, by the way, what are you laughing at that for, friends? That just now struck me. What are you trying to say? In this woman's occasion, everybody knew she's a born-again child of God. She had the gleam of heaven on her face, and she died with that gleam in her eye. But let me ask you a question. What if that happened to you? What if you took your last breath while I'm preaching this message? What unfinished business do you have? Are you counting on the next day to get it done? You counting on next month or maybe next year? Without really being certain if you're even going to be here the next moment? One man said, Larry, a friend of our radio ministry, formed his own tree service and logging business, and he put in long, physically exhausting days for his career and his family, But deep down he knew there was one thing missing. He wasn't working for Christ. He was saved. He was born again. But he just gave his whole life to his business. I mean, he had no time for God. He prayed for God to bless the new company. And he went to church every Sunday. But being a believer, he made no significant difference in his life because he was just saturating himself in his work. He knew in his heart that Christ wanted him to do more for him instead of himself. But Larry was raised to be self-reliant, so he focused totally on his work and his business flourished. It was flourishing all the way up to the day when Larry, what it calls, failed his final tree. It was a routine maneuver, you see. He didn't do anything differently. He had a great pine tree ready to fall, and he stood clear. But as it slid, the pine collided violently with another tree at the edge of the clearing. Suddenly, it came coming down in a different direction, the direction that Larry had chosen to run for safety. Before he knew it, Larry was pinned to the ground. In a world of pain, this tree fell on him, you see, and he rasped out the words, "God, help me!" He was certain that death was near. He felt no fear because he was saved, but what was that other thing that seemed to be filling his spirit? And the word after that is regret. His thoughts began to move toward what must lie ahead. How could he ever explain to Jesus an entire life of ignoring his voice, you see? And he knew God had special things planned for him, but he had consistently gone his own way. There was always later, he thought, after he had his business running smoothly, after he raised his family, after his youth was gone. Later, he was saying, God wants me to do something. I'll do it later after everything is settled. But now he was fresh out of later. Now he would stand and give an account, he thought, before the throne of grace. Now he wished he had a second chance. After his crushed body was found, he spent 3 days in critical condition, hovering between life and death, fighting for that second chance. On his behalf, a prayer chain began in his family and rippled out to the friends and associates. His vital signs began to rally. The doctors repaired both his legs, narrowly avoiding amputation. Amazingly, there was no damage at all to the spinal cord. He was home for his 37th birthday. That's how old I am. With a big cake and a heart filled with gratitude to God. Because, see, he thought he was going to die. God heard the prayers of the people and allowed him to live. He's at home for his birthday. He's determined to walk again with his family, but above all, with his Lord now. He had started a business to work for himself, but from now on, he's reporting to a much higher authority in his life. May I say this to you? Larry got a second chance. You and I may not. Are you giving your life to what God has told you to do? Or are you procrastinating, counting on tomorrow, counting on next week, counting on next year, when life is uncertain? I'm telling you, procrastination denies the uncertainty of life. Secondly, procrastination delays serving the Lord. We find this in Luke chapter 9, verses 59 to 62. Let me read it. Let me explain it. As he said unto another, "Follow me." This is the Lord speaking. He said, "Follow me." But he, the man that he said, "Follow me," said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." You know the key words there? Me first. Suffer me first. Me first. Me first. Suffer me first to go do this. You know, you can either live your life me first or him first. Which one is it? Which one is it? He said, "Suffer me first to go bury my father." Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God." Another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." You say, "Jody, that's harsh. What'd he mean? All, the only thing that man said was, hey, let me go bury my father." Okay, his father was living. That was this man saying, let me go home and spend some time with my daddy and wait till he's dead, then I'll come follow you. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Here's the point. He's emphasizing here that his will should take precedence over every other earthly affair. When the Lord reveals his will, we are not to put it off for anything else on planet earth. One man put it well by saying, Jesus' point here is that we must keep in check our own tendency to put the big things aside for the little ones. It was one man called this the tyranny of the urgent. In other words, putting the more important thing behind the more immediate things. At any given moment, we need to be aware of the wisest possible way to invest that moment we so briefly hold in our grasp. Too easily a lifetime has passed and we've done little or nothing of eternal value. May I say this to you? If you are giving your time to anything on planet Earth, I'm talking about tangible things. I'm talking about materialistic. I'm not talking about the Word of God. I'm not talking about the work of God. I'm talking about in this earth, the things of the world, materials, money, possessions. You understand what I'm saying here? If you give your life, your job, your work, if you give your life to anything on planet Earth, you are wasting God-given time. He does not give us time to waste on the earth. He gives us time to invest for eternity. Is what you're doing going to outlive you? Is what you're giving your life for going to outlive you? Are you clicking coupons over in glory land? Or is all your works just going to burn up when the world does? Procrastination takes God's will and says later. Jesus said, follow me now. Let me go home and spend some time with my daddy, make sure that he has a nice burial. That could have been years. Then I'll come and follow you. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. I've got a will for you. You follow me. You go preach the gospel of the kingdom. And he procrastinated. He tried to put it off. Whatever the Lord's telling you to do, do it now. What in the world, Brother Gary, what in the world would happen at Buffalo Ridge if this crowd left here saying, whatever God tells me to do now, I'm going to do it now? What would happen? What in the world could God do with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church if you precious people and I as your pastor say, God, whatever you want us to do right now, show us and we will do it. Could you imagine what would take place? Procrastination delays that. I've got other things to do, God. I'll do other things first. Then I'll come and serve you. I like this statement. Listen to this. Time is the ballot that records your vote on what matters in life. That is a powerful statement right there. In other words, what you do with your time, you're casting your vote with what matters to you. I vote for that. And I vote for that, and I vote for that. Some people are voting for this, and they're voting for that, and they're voting for that, and they're voting for that. Every moment you live, you are casting your vote for what matters to you. May I say this to you? I have not arrived. I have so far to go, and that's not just me trying to act just humble. I mean with every ounce of my being, God shows me over and over again that I've not arrived. I need more humility in my life. I need God to keep working on me, but I'm telling you, the longer I live, the more I want to do for God. He's been too good to me. The more I want to do more and more and more and more for Him, not for me. Give your life to God now. Don't put it off. Does serving the Lord matter to you? Are you spending your time serving the Lord or wasting it on yourself? John 9:4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day. For the night cometh when no man can work. That's what Jesus said. Number one, this stronghold of procrastination denies life's uncertainty. It delays serving the Lord. Number three, it defies God's voice. Let me explain what I mean here. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, listen to these verses, and then let me explain what I mean by this point, that it defies the voice of God. The word defy means it rebels against it. It wants nothing to do with it, okay? It kind of spits in its face, okay? Listen to these verses. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. Get this now. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, here's the phrase, and here's where I get this. It defies the voice of God. Listen to this. While it is today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocations. Here's the point I'm trying to say. When I say it defies God's voice, the point is, in God's perfect timing, does God have perfect timing, yes or no? Sure he does. And in his perfect timing, in his sovereignty, every now and then he speaks to your heart, doesn't he? He does me. You ever had God speak to your heart? Some of you have me speaking to your heart right now, don't you? Here's where I'm going with this. At the time when God speaks, what a precious time that is. What a valuable time that is. When he speaks, do you think he's saying, I'm speaking to you to act on this tomorrow? I'm speaking to you now just so you're ready to serve me 6 months from today. I think you know where I'm going with this. I'm telling you that when God speaks, he's calling for service at that moment. Procrastination defies God's voice. Procrastination knows, the heart knows God's dealing with me. I need to do this. I need to stop talking about this. This is God's will. I've got to do this. And because God is whispering to you, I love that still small voice. Remember when he was talking? He was going to talk in the Old Testament and an earthquake came and rent the mountain, but God wasn't in that. The wind, the mighty wind, God wasn't in that. But after that, there was a still, small voice. You understand what the still, small voice is? Wooing you to do the will of God. It's a still, small voice, but it's massive, isn't it? You can't quiet it. You can't silence it. Now, you can if he chooses to stop speaking to you. I'm saying to you, when he speaks, procrastination says no. And that is dangerous. One man put it well, life holds its defining moments for each of us. Times when God reaches into time and space and deals with us directly and personally. You heard his voice loud and clear. Maybe there is a tomorrow. Even so, you may never again hear Christ's voice as clearly as today. You may never have the same strong mandate to obey him. When God speaks, the moment is now. His timetable and planning are perfect, and not for our personal convenience. Your mind may be filled with other thoughts. You may not be as sensitive tomorrow. The ministry need may have evaporated by that time, and your window of opportunity may snap shut. Tomorrow changes everything. Today is the day God chose to get your attention, and with God there are no coincidences. So the Bible makes this point again and again. Don't delay. Don't push back. Don't lose the moment. Here's the point. Procrastination constantly puts it off to tomorrow. That denies life's uncertainty. You may not be here tomorrow. Procrastination, friends, I'm telling you, is something that nothing good comes from it. It delays in serving Christ. But it also defies God's voice. If you live to see tomorrow, what if He doesn't speak to you tomorrow like He did today? See, when He speaks is in His hands. And He chooses when to speak to us. And when He speaks, if we deny that and procrastinate, there is no guaranteed fact that He'll ever speak to us again. It defies the voice of God. Psalm 119:60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Number one, procrastination denies life's uncertainty. Number two, it delays serving the Lord. Number three, it defies when God speaks. And then number four, in closing, it dooms people for eternity. In Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25, this is the story where Paul is under scrutiny. He's standing before the court of the law that day, and he's thundering forth the word of God. Boy, I'd love to have seen that. I mean, here's somebody that's standing to give witness for himself. You think the Apostle Paul could testify on behalf of himself? I think he probably could handle that okay. He stood in front of these people and he began to thunder forth the word of God. And one man that he stood before was a man by the name of Felix. And Acts chapter 24, verse 24 and 25 says this, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix, the Bible says, trembled. You know what the word trembled means? It means he was afraid. He was scared. He was terrified. And answered, and I quote, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. May I paraphrase? The trembling that Felix felt, I personally believe, was conviction. Paul thundered forth the word of God. He thundered forth in that court of law, here, righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He started giving him the gospel, and Felix's heart was touched. It was fearful. He was convicted, and he said this, go away for now. When I have a more convenient time, I'll call you back. Now get this. Felix was the procurator of Judea. After hearing Paul's presentation, trembled. He was brought face to face with his sin and with his guilt. But instead of responding to the gospel, he tried to put it off till later. This man was putting salvation in Christ off until a convenient season. By the way, that we know of, that season never came. Paul did appear again before him, but his heart was cold the next time. Read it for yourself. Felix was not open anymore. He was cold. And procrastination is a decision that can cause you to put the greatest decision that you've ever made off until a later time, which may never come, and that is the decision to trust Christ. As you've heard the statement, the road to hell, after all, is paved with good intentions. The steamship Central America, that's the name of the steamship, on a voyage from New York to San Francisco many years ago, sprang a leak in mid-ocean. As far as I know, it was many years ago. A vessel seeing her signal of distress bore down toward her, trying to get to her, you see. Perceiving her danger to the imminent, the captain of the rescue ship spoke to the Central America that had a leak and said, what's amiss? We're in bad repair and we're going down. Lie by till morning. The ship that came to take people on board to save the passengers said, let me take your passengers on board now. It was night, and the captain of the Central America did not like to transfer his passengers then, lest some might be lost in the confusion and thinking they would keep afloat some hours later. In other words, he was counting on the boat staying up longer than he realized it would. And he said, "No, lie by till morning." Once again, the captain of the rescue ship said, "You'd better let me take them now." "No, lie by till morning," was sounded back through the night. About an hour and a half later, her lights were missed. The Central America had gone down, and all on board perished because it was thought that they could be saved in the morning. While salvation is offered to you, sir or ma'am, now's the accepted time. Behold, today's the day of salvation. Billy Graham was at a hotel in Seattle, fast asleep, when he suddenly woke with a powerful burden to pray for Marilyn Monroe. The actress and, excuse me, the sex symbol. Billy Graham understood something of the urgency of the Spirit's prompting. He began to pray, and the next day the burden was just as strong. He had his assistants try to contact Marilyn Monroe over the phone, but her agent made it very difficult. She was too busy, the man said, but she would meet with the Reverend Graham sometime. "Not now," said the agent, "maybe 2 weeks from now." 2 weeks were a little too late, because 2 weeks later from this time, the headlines of America shouted all over the news that Marilyn Monroe had committed suicide. She would never have that opportunity to find peace for her soul. You say, "You're trying to scare me?" If that's what it takes, yes. The devil and his cohorts were devising plans to get people to reject the gospel. This is a made-up story, but there's a lot of truth to it. "Let's go to them and say there is no God," one demon said. Silence came over the place, and every devil knew that most people believe in a supreme being, so trying to convince them of that is not the way. Another said, "Let's tell them there is no hell, no future punishment for the wicked." That was turned down because men obviously have choices which tell them, have consciences which tell them that sin must be punished. The concave was going to end in failure when there came a voice from the rear, said, "Tell them there is a God. Tell them there is a hell. Tell them there is a Bible that is the Word of God. But tell them there's plenty of time to decide the question. Let them neglect the gospel until it's too late." All hell erupted with just ghoulish glee, for they knew that if a person procrastinates on Christ, they usually never accept Him. Hebrews 2:3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" As I conclude this message, Colossians 4:5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." The Bible says in Ephesians 5:15 and 16, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." I echo the voice of a preacher that I read after reading on a sermon like this. I echo the voice of the preacher as he came to the end of his chapter. What are you waiting for? Is it time to surrender to Christ, who loves you and died for you? Is it time to run from the old sin life that can lead you only to misery and destruction? Is it time to say yes to something the Spirit of God has tugged at in your heart to do? Some mission, some ministry, some calling of God that He set with your name engraved on it? I want you to do that. How long will He continue to tug? How long before the embers of your heart are reduced to ashes? Is it time to get your house in order? Time to mend fences with your husband, your wife, your children? time to guide your family back to the loving arms of Christ to rebuild the loving home He wants you to have? Is it time to begin pleasing God with the work of your hands to honor Him better in the workplace, to eliminate the practices that bring Him grief? Is it time? Is it time? Is it time to do something for God? What are you waiting for? Jonathan Edwards led a remarkable life. He entered Yale University at the age of 13. Can you imagine that? As an adult, he preached, and his preaching launched the first two revivals ever to sweep America, including the Great Awakening. Jonathan Edwards ultimately became the first president of Princeton University. He was regarded as one of the greatest intellectuals our country has ever produced. Before the 20th century, it was often said that only two Americans had a world impact through their philosophies, Benjamin Franklin and Jonathan Edwards. His books are still in print and influential after over 200 years. But here's what this dear man of God said, and I quote, "I resolve to live with all my might while I do live. I resolve never to lose one moment of time and to improve my use of time in the most profitable way I possibly can." Get this last statement. "I resolve never to do anything I would not do if it were the last hour of my life." See, if we really believe the Bible, that our next heartbeat could stop, it would change our life. Everything is made of time. And this very moment, right now, rests in our hands. What are we waiting for? I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, I pray that you will help us to be faithful to you and your word. Help us not to put off any longer what you've given us to do. May we be an active church, a church that constantly is present in the will of God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Procrastination is something that all of us can struggle with. Procrastination is something that the devil can use to keep you stagnant in the will of God. Procrastination denies life's uncertainty that you're not promised another second, another moment. Procrastination delays serving the Lord, that the Lord is telling you to do something and you've tried to put it off. Procrastination defies God's voice. When God speaks to you, it's a precious moment. It's a very valuable time. It's a very precious time. You say, what's the problem if I say no today? The problem is He may not speak to you like He's speaking to you right now. That's the problem. He may, but He may not. Is God speaking to you to do something? The final thing we shared is that it dooms people for eternity. It sends people to hell. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, don't be foolish and put a decision like that off until another day. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Have you today say, "Jody, I'm glad at least I'm saved. I'm a born-again child of God. Procrastination has not doomed me for eternity. I am a child of God on my way to heaven." How many of you know that? Would you raise your hand in the air? Thank you. You can put it right back down. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. If you could not raise your hand to that question, you're among friends. More important than that, there's a God in heaven who loves you. No matter who you are or what you've done, and He wants to save you. Have you say, "Jody, pray for me. The
decision that I do not need to procrastinate in is the decision to trust Christ. And I want to trust Him as my Savior. I am lost. I need to be saved. And I desire for God to save me and change my life. I desire this. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you say pray for me, that I will not procrastinate in trusting Christ as my Savior. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? Put it right back down. Anybody? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Upstairs, downstairs. You say pray for me. I'm not a Christian. And I need to trust Christ before it's too late. And I don't want to procrastinate any longer. If you're a Christian and you know it, God has His hand on something right now, His finger in your heart, and He's using this message saying, you know, now's the time to act. You've been putting it off long enough. Could be something with your marriage. It could be something with your family. It could be something with this church. It could be a ministry that God's been laying on your heart. Hey, you need to get involved in that ministry, and you've not done it, and God, He's just not leaving you alone. That's a prayer. Praise God, He's not leaving you alone. His voice is speaking to you. Will you say yes, or will you say no tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow? And the tomorrow, you say the next thing, and tomorrow, well, next month, next year. Listen, don't procrastinate. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. God is speaking to me. And there's something that we know we need to do. God is telling us, this is it. This is what I want you to do. And you say, pray that I will not procrastinate. Have you God speaking to you in that way? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Speak to me and help me that I will not put it off. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. That's several of you today. Several of you. I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. If you're sitting beside somebody that's trusted Christ but never made it public, I encourage you to bring that person forward and encourage them to let us know so they're not ashamed. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm just going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. God is speaking to you. Would you leave your place and come? Would you do it as He says? Don't put it off any longer. Do it now. Do it today. Tomorrow may be too late. Give it to God now. Playing through softly. If you're standing, you can look this way. I love it when the Lord begins working in a family, in a home. Several weeks ago now, Brother Jake Kaiser stayed after a Wednesday night church service. And Brother Wade and I had the opportunity to speak to him, and he called out to Jesus Christ, asked God to forgive him, change his life. He's been baptized. He's going forward. He's been out soul winning, leading people to Christ. He's got somebody special with him today. Somebody he's been praying for. Somebody he led to Christ this morning. And it's his own brother. This is Jordan. Jordan Kaiser. Jordan, you're telling me that today the Lord God of heaven spoke to your heart. You knew you were a sinner, but you knew Jesus died for you. And today you are letting us know unashamedly that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that why you're standing there? Yes. Amen. 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 Remind of a brother in the Bible that reached a brother. Andrew, right? First findeth his brother. Brought him to Jesus, saying, we have found him who we've been searching for. God's using you, young man. I'm so proud of you. Now you've got your brother. Tag team the world. Go win the world to Jesus Christ. Go win Johnson City, Kingsport, Gray, Colonial Heights. Stay in here with us. We'll help you. Am I giving your brother straight here? Are we going to help him? Amen. Helping you, still helping you. Starting discipleship program. That floats my boat, friends. That's gas in the tank. God's still working. Wednesday night we preached on that about getting your family to Christ. This young man put it to practice and went and got his brother. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Have you happy for this? Say an amen. I want them to stay right here, and I hope many of you will come by and let them know we're here for them. Be back tonight. I've got a message ready to go, but the Lord is laying on my heart something else. If He keeps going that way, we'll just follow the Lord. And I trust you'll be here, 6:30, right in your place. Ask God to come and be with us as well. Would you do that? Let's pray together, all right? Brother Rick Hall, sir, if you wouldn't mind to pray and thank God for these salvations here.